Welcome to Cryptocurrency News, where you get the news, not financial advice. In this episode, I'd like to talk a little bit about DeFi. That's correct, decentralized finance. Now, this article comes to us from Sid Kolhoprabhu from blog.coinbase.com. Now, the article is a little over a year old, but it's still very relevant, I think. The title says, A Beginner's Guide to Decentralized Finance, DeFi. And he begins by saying, cryptocurrencies promise to make money and payments universally accessible to anyone, no matter where they are in the world. The decentralized, or DeFi, or open finance movement, takes that promise a step further. Imagine a global open alternative for every financial service you use today, savings, loans, trading, insurance, and more, possibly accessible to anyone in the world with a smartphone and internet connection. It goes on and says, this is now possible on smart contract blockchains like Ethereum. Smart contracts are programs running on the blockchain that can execute automatically when certain conditions are met. These smart contracts enable developers to build far more sophisticated functionality than simply sending and receiving cryptocurrency. These programs are what we now call decentralized apps, or dApps. You can think of a dApp as an app that is built on decentralized technology rather than being built and controlled by a single centralized entity or company. And then he continues by saying, while some of these concepts might sound futuristic, automated loans negotiated directly between two strangers in different parts of the world without a bank in the middle, many of these dApps are already live today. There are DeFi dApps that allow you to create stable coins, cryptocurrency whose value is pegged to the US dollar, lend out money, and even earn and earn interest on your crypto. Take out a loan, exchange one asset for another, or go long on short assets and implement automated advanced investment strategies. Now, you're talking about a lot of things here that would come in so useful, it seems, for people living in developing countries where they don't have access to normal banking services or normal financial services. And in fact, we know, like in the case of China, where there's a huge segment of shadow banking. And one could certainly see how this decentralized financial application could be just a boon to people in those places, allowing them an opportunity to actually have access to financial markets. It says, what difference does DeFi apps from their traditional bank on Wall Street or counterparts? At their core, the operations of these businesses are not managed by an institution and its employees. Instead, the rules are written in code or smart contract, as mentioned here. Once the smart contract is deployed to the blockchain, DeFi apps can run themselves with little to no human intervention, although in practice, developers often do maintain the dApps with upgrades to fix or bug fixes. The code is transparent on the blockchain for anyone to audit. This builds a different kind of trust with users because anyone has the opportunity to understand the contract's functionality or find bugs. All transaction activity is also public for anyone to view. While this may raise privacy concerns, transactions are pseudonyms by default, i.e. not tied directly to your real-life identity. Now that is just, in my opinion, not financial advice, an awesome concept that you have publicly available software using pseudonyms. And I have to ask myself, I know this is off track, but wouldn't that just be the coolest thing to replace our voting system that we have? Right now, we deal with voting machines with shadowy programs, it seems like. They're proprietary. Wouldn't it be neat if this was somehow we could replace the current system of voting machines with a decentralized voting system where the programming was publicly available on, say, GitHub, where everybody could see how the program worked. And then instead of putting the person's name who voted, we could simply have anonymous pseudonyms so that people could maintain their privacy, but that the votes would be entered into an immutable blockchain using transparent programming. Now, there's a concept. It goes on, it says, permissionless to participate. Anyone can create DeFi apps and anyone can use them. Unlike finance today, there are no gatekeepers or accounts with lengthy forms. Users interact directly with the smart contracts from their crypto wallets. Flexible user experience. Don't like the interface to a certain dApp? No problem. You can use a third-party interface or build your own. Smart contracts are like an open API that anyone can build an app for. Interoperable. New DeFi applications can be built or composed by combining other DeFi products like Lego pieces. Stablecoins, decentralized exchanges, and prediction markets can be combined to form entirely new products. DeFi is now one of the fastest growing sectors in crypto. Industry observers measure traction with a unique new metric, ETH locked in DeFi. At the time of writing, users have deposited over $600 million worth of crypto into these smart contracts. Now remember, this article is from a year ago. Intrigued? Let's take a closer look at just a few of the popular DeFi dApps out there that you can try today. You'll need a cryptocurrency wallet with a built-in dApp browser, like Coinbase wallet, to connect to these dApps. You can also use most of these dApps on desktop by selecting Coinbase wallet option and scanning a QR code. And then they have a whole list of very interesting dApps here. It says it's still early for dApps, so DeFi users should do their research on new products and services. Like any computer code, smart contracts can be vulnerable to both unintended programming mistakes and malicious hacks. Stablecoins and decentralized reserve bank called Maker. It says Maker is a stablecoin project where cash stablecoin, DAI, is pegged to the U.S. dollar and is backed by collateral in the form of crypto. Stablecoins offer the programmability of crypto without the downside of volatility that you see with traditional cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ether. Then it goes on and has a few more here. It says Borrow and Lend, one called Compound, is a blockchain-based borrowing and lending app. We have Automated Token Exchange or Uniswap. It says Uniswap is a cryptocurrency exchange run entirely on smart contracts, letting you trade popular tokens directly from your wallet. It says this is different from an exchange like Coinbase, which stores your crypto for you and holds your private keys for safekeeping. Uniswap uses an innovative mechanism known as an automated market making to automatically settle trades near the market price. In addition to trading, any user can become a liquidity provider by supplying crypto to the Uniswap contract and earning a share of the exchange fees. This is called pooling. And then it goes on and lists others here. It says other popular decentralized exchange platforms or DEXs include Ox, AirSwap, Bancor, Kyber, IDEX, Paradex, and Radar Relay. And then we have here something called prediction markets, and it lists Augur. Augur is a decentralized prediction market protocol. With Augur, you can vote on the outcome of events, except you put skin in the game by attaching a value to your vote. Prediction market platforms like Augur and Guesser are nascent, but offer a view into the future where users can make better predictions by tapping into the wisdom of the crowd. Now, I could see that being used as some sort of a derivative at a future point, where people are using their guesses or prediction outcomes to hedge events. It says here, synthetic assets, Synthetex. Synthetex is a platform that lets users create and exchange synthetic versions of assets like gold, silver, cryptocurrencies, and traditional currencies like the euro. The synthetic assets are backed by excess collateral locked into the synthetic contracts. Then we have another one called No Loss Savings Game, Pool Together. The composability of DeFi lends itself to infinite new possibilities. Pool Together is a no-loss game where participants deposit the DEI stablecoin into a common pot. At the end of each month, one lucky participant wins all the interest earned, and everyone gets their initial deposits back. And it goes on and lists some more stuff. It says, so what's next for DeFi? Money and finance have been around in one form or the other since the dawn of human civilization. Crypto is just the latest digital avatar. In upcoming years, we might see every financial service that we use in today's fiat system being rebuilt for the crypto ecosystem. We've already seen asset issuance and exchange, borrowing, lending, custody, and derivatives built for crypto. What's next? The first generation of DeFi dApps rely heavily on collateral as a safeguard. That is, you need to already own crypto and provide it as collateral in order to borrow more crypto. More traditional unsecured borrowing and lending will need to rely on an identity system so that borrowers can build up credit and increase their borrowing power, much like today's SSN and FICO scores. Unlike today's identity and credit systems, however, a decentralized identity will have to be both universal and privacy preserving. I think the article has a lot of good points here, and at the very end here, it concludes by saying something magical is happening in the open financial system. Crypto is bringing money online, and we're seeing a quantum leap and what's possible when it comes to the functionality of money. Well, I would agree with that. And what this seems to be doing is it's taking the utility aspect. As we spoke about this on this podcast many times, you look at something like gold with a $7 trillion market and compare that to the world currency market of over $200 trillion. You can see how this whole concept of decentral finance is bringing fiat into this DeFi platform, converting it, and then creating all these different apps, allowing people to do things with these tokens that they would normally do with money. Now, how this will turn out in the long run is anybody's guess. This article is a year old, and we can see a lot's happened since then. We can see a lot of the appreciation of value from some of these Ethereum-based crypto tokens. But we've also seen a lot of pushback from different governments, the folks that depend and create fiat currency. So how this will be allowed to grow, what the DeFi space will end up with, what the regulation picture is going to look like. We just talked a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, about how Coinbase is saying that, hey, some of these DeFi platforms could end up being a competitor to us because we have to abide by the Know Your Customer laws and all the other regulations, and they don't. At the same time, you could say, well, maybe they needs to be regulated, but what about the folks in these developing countries or that live under some oppressive regime? These DeFi systems can allow them their only opportunity to engage in what we would consider normal banking or finance. It really is the democratization of currency and what currency can be used for. You can take that as good or bad. As I said before, this is not financial advice, but it just shows how the cryptocurrency space is expanding, and it's expanding exponentially. Anything that money is being used for, we can see how somebody has an idea to convert that money into cryptocurrency or tokens and use that instead. The real test here will be, what happens as this a new form of currency, money, whatever you want to call it, comes into conflict with fiat? What happens is it comes into competition with maybe even with central government, central banks. What will the reaction be, and how will that affect the users in this space? All things that remain to be seen. As I said, this is your cryptocurrency news, not financial advice.